Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Shabbat Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And you can re-listen to this show later in the week at shofarministries.net. We're going to open today's program with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Shabbat. We delight in your Shabbat. And we ask you in Jesus' name to open our ears and our hearts to what you have to say to us. Sanctify us with your truth. Thy word is truth. We also want to lift up all those who have called and sent in prayer requests, that you honor those requests and answer the prayers according to our faith. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you. And Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'd like to say happy birthday to my daughter. Today is her birthday, and don't ask me how old she is, because I'm not letting you think how old I am. But anyway, today we are going to continue on a very hot topic that stirs up many, both pro and con.
When is the rapture? Before, during, or after the tribulation? And for some, is there a rapture at all?
Yeah. But we're going to continue to debunk the critics of the pre-trib rapture, which I am a firm believer in, and I wasn't always that way. You know, before, I used to think it was like a mid-trib or pre-wrath or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And after I really studied it, okay, that's when I realized that that's impossible.
Ah, okay.
So
but
we're
first,
not going to go through any of it.
That's great news. And first, though, before we get into that, I want to remind our listeners of our calendar webpage, shofarministries.net, where events are posted. You can also ask your biblical questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net. That's Sheila with S-H-E-I-L-A. Or you may call Sheila as well and leave a detailed message on her answering machine, and she'll be happy to get back to you. And we'll be opening up the lines later in this hour for your end-time questions or comments about today's programs.
That's right. And we're going to get right into today's program because we have a lot of material to cover. But I want to ask you, if you're listening out there and you think we're going through any part of the tribulation, who are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus Christ, like the Bible tells you, at any moment, always being prepared and ready, and if you're saved, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you looking for the Antichrist because you think we're going to be here through some of the tribulation? Think about that heavy as we get into today's program. Okay, last week we discussed Matthew 24:29-31 and how it speaks of the second coming of our Lord, not the catching away prior to the tribulation, but rather the second coming of our Lord at the end of the tribulation. With us, by the way, according to Zechariah 14 and Revelation 19. But the scriptures of Matthew 24 is not the catching away of believers. It's totally different verbiage in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians compared to Matthew 24:29.
And those First Thessalonian verse and the First Corinthian verse say, with the sound of the trump and the voice of the archangel, with the catching away. But this is different language.
Well, it's different language, and it's a different trump.
And also, we spoke of the different expressions of the day, or idioms, as we call them, and how the last trump is not the same as the seventh trump it spoke of in Revelation, as well as the elect. Who are the elect? So there's some difference in there. We learned that there's an elect for every age.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And also the sound of the great trump. So right there, there's the last trump, there's the great trump, seventh trump.
These are all different trumps.
The great trump is the meaning in Matthew 24.
You got it, John.
And let me suggest to the listeners, if you did miss last week's program, just go to the website, shofarministries.net, to get the detailed teaching of why that elect of Matthew 24 can't be the bride, but rather the saved saints of the tribulation period.
Right, and we really covered this extensively, okay, because as I told you last time, I was recently handed a paper that has been circling through the churches on why some think we will be here for the tribulation, and mm-hmm. they give these facts, and we're going to continue today to expose this. And I've been studying prophecy for, oh my gosh, over 20 years. And I believe to tell someone that we're going through the tribulation puts you in the category of a false teacher, because that's a definite fallacy. And unfortunately, I hear it, and it's going around way too much for my liking. I mean, we're always going to have differences of opinion, but this is just getting a little out of hand. And I just feel that the Lord has called me to help the body of Christ to understand why we're not going through the tribulation and be able to answer when someone says, well, what about this scripture?
Mm-hmm.
And last week was a perfect example, because the scriptures last week is the number one scripture they use to say that we're going through the tribulation.
The one from Matthew 24.
Yes, it's the number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so please.
Can we reread that Matthew 24? Or do we have time? Okay.
Well, no, not right now.
Okay, maybe we'll get to that later, but
yeah,
you can look it up.
Yeah, well, I don't want to redo the show. I'd like people to go back and listen to the show.
Yes.
Because that would take us quite a bit.
Or join us
time.
With your Bibles, and you can read it, Matthew 24, as we go along here.
But we're going to continue this week to take the next point that it has on this paper, okay, and discuss it in length. So, again, you will have an answer to why you believe what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And because you need to know the proper answers for correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. And that's what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16. We need to know this stuff so that we can use it for correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when you know what you're talking about, you can use it to witness to others. You know, John, I received Christ from a message of the end times and the rapture. I didn't want to miss it.
I know someone in high school that got saved because of a movie about the rapture.
Yeah, there was that one, Left Behind, going around quite a bit.
No, it wasn't. Was it Left Behind? It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I remember that was in the late 60s, early 70s. But he watched that thing. And he got saved because of that message of the rapture.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Definitely.
I mean,
right,
I just
there.
Know that if there's going to be a rapture, I wanted to be part of it. And even if the guy was wrong, what did I lose?
Right.
If he's right, at least I'm going.
At least you're going. Hey, I got to ask you something, too. But, this is controversial in our circles. But if you are saved, what's really the harm of believing that, when there's going to be a rapture, or you're not sure, and it's what's the harm of believing
yeah.
this?
Well, we kind of covered this last week too, but it bears repeating. It taints all of the rest of prophetic scripture if you think we're going to be here for the tribulation. It clouds all the other, interpretations, ideas, the whole thing. It's like prophecy is a huge puzzle,
mm-hmm.
okay, and it's got these pieces,
right?
And when the piece doesn't fit, you got to throw it out. And it doesn't fit with the rest of prophecy.
Right.
And again, Acts 20:27 is emphatic about how we must know the whole counsel of God. You just can't take one or two scriptures even
yes.
and make a theology on it, which is really those that think we're going to the tribulation do. They don't have that many, maybe three or four.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple pages.
Right, right.
You know, so
like you said, we have to take the counsel of all the scriptures, the whole counsel of scripture.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. And that's what I try to do. But I also try to show the people why I've come to that conclusion.
Right.
And that's the teacher in me.
And then and then you can make the decision as a listener or someone, you know, sitting under this teaching. You can make that decision yourself. Is this enough information for me?
You've got to go and look it up yourself. Mm-hmm. Peter Berea in Acts 17:11.
Yes.
Paul said, listen to what I have to say to stir you up and then go and check it out yourself. Unfortunately, the body of Christ is not doing that today.
Mm-hmm.
They're listening to their pastor or their somebody on television maybe that tells them they're going through the tribulation and they just assume, well, he's got to be right.
Yes.
Look how important he is. Look how many followers he has. Look how much money he has.
Right.
And that's just so the opposite of what God does. He uses the little people.
So the harm in this particular error or false teaching, or I'm just going to call it a false teaching, is that it's going to taint and cloud up the picture of all the rest of the prophecies in the Bible, not only just the prophecies of our Lord Jesus, but also of the prophets of the Old Testament, Old Covenant, whatever you want to call it, First Covenant.
Right.
And then when that starts to happen, then you're going to get even further.
Well, then you get confused and you say, well, forget it. I'll just wait and see what happens. So then you don't study prophecy at all. And what does the Bible tell you in Revelation 1:3? You get a special blessing when you study prophecy.
And, okay, so let's remember that. There's a special blessing from prophecy. And also, if you believe you're going to the tribulation, we talked about this a little earlier. I don't know if you want to get into this now, but if you actually believe you're going through the tribulation, what are you going to be doing now? You're going to be hoarding things. You're going to be filling pantries. You're going to stock up on firearms, whatever, you know.
Well, and the biggest thing, you're going to worry.
And you're going to worry.
You're not supposed to worry at all about anything.
Are you sure we're not supposed to be a little worried about
things? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6.
Yeah?
Yeah. I hope if you're listening and you're out there worrying, you need to read Matthew 6.
Yes.
I think it starts in verse 25 or something like that, but he's emphatic.
Mm-hmm.
Worry for nothing.
I think I underlined don't worry at least three times
it's probably more. Yeah. So
yes.
Anyway, so let's get back to this list here because and I'm going to try to stay calm, but I have to tell you
this is the paper that's actually being circulated in churches.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I don't know in how many churches.
Okay.
It was given to me at a church I was speaking at, but, you know, maybe it was only in that church. I'm not going to say all churches, but I know that this theology is in other churches.
Okay.
You know, so, but right
Fair
on
enough.
The heading of this paper, it said, did Jesus lie? So, in other words, now, can you imagine this? Because they misinterpret scripture, taking it out of context, and not knowing the Hebraic roots, which kind of adds to it.
Mm-hmm.
So because they misinterpret scripture, they ask, did Jesus lie? Like it's saying to me, if I believe in a pre-trib rapture, that I'm calling Jesus a liar.
They're implying that you're a liar if you're...
I know.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
And that's where the little blood pressure needle goes up.
Yes, it does. Okay, and we covered again last week, the very first one, it said, now, did Jesus lie? He said he'll return after the tribulation. Well.
Did he say that?
Yes, he certainly did, and he will. But that's the second coming, and that's not the pre-tribulation rapture that's talked about in 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians. So we covered that. If you didn't get the show, please, again, it's free. Go to my webpage, click on Radio Podcasts, and you can listen to all the shows if you want to. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So number two on this list, and I'll read right what it says. Jesus said he would raise his followers on the last day in John 6:39 and 40. Did Jesus lie? That just gets me. Let's go to John 6:39 and read it for me.
John 6:39. Well, I had it marked out here. Where did it go?
I'll bet it's still there.
No, I'm in.
I got it then.
You got
problem.
It. You take it.
Okay. 39 says, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. This is Jesus speaking. But should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay, well, first of all, again, I'm going to refer you to a program we did a few weeks ago on March 6, 2010, where I covered totally what in that day or the last day means. Okay, but we're going to do it again.
The last day is an expression.
It is.
And it is an idiom.
And you're
right.
It's
important to understand what that means.
That's right. And just to give you a little clue as to where we're going, I'm going to give you a couple other scriptures, and I'm going to read them to you. But in the Old Testament, in Psalm 90, verse 4, it says, "For 1,000 years in your sight," talking to the Lord, "are like yesterday when it is past." Okay, so it's given us this kind of clue that there's something going on with a day and a thousand years. In Psalm 84:10, says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. So again, another clue that there's something more going on here. But I think what it really makes sense is when we get to the New Testament in 2 Peter 3:8. And let's turn to that.
Can you hear the pages of our Bibles turning as we?
Yes, it is.
2 Peter 3.
2 Peter is a really good book.
Verse 8. Moreover, dear friends, do not ignore this. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day.
Okay, so here, get the context. If we read up in the top there, we're starting off talking about creation, and he ends it speaking of the end times or the judgment time. So the clue is, and the reason for God taking 6 days to create the world is because it's a picture or typology.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I've covered this before, but I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, there'd be absolutely no reason for God to take 6 days.
Right.
He could have snapped his fingers,
mm-hmm.
or Jesus, whoever you want to give total credit to, because it was the Trinity. They were all part of it. He could have snapped his fingers, and that world would have been done and ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But he specifically writes that he took 6 particular days and created man on the 6th day. Okay?
Yes.
All right.
And he was not tired.
And he was not tired to rest on the Sabbath.
That's
right.
Why he didn't rest. He rested as
a picture. You betcha.
Yes.
So basically, what we're going to do here, and again, if you want to know the more details, go back to the March 6th show. But what we're seeing here is that a day is as 1,000 years, typologically speaking.
Right.
All right. So I believe, and I have taught, that at the end of 6,000 years, the last 1,000 year of history will begin.
Right.
For man.
So why can't we just look on the calendar and say, oh, what, you know, we're, this is 7,000 or 6,999 or whatever.
I know. Well, unfortunately, and this was probably God's
plan too. We've covered this before.
Yes. The calendars are not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even the Jewish calendar isn't correct because they forgot to count certain servitudes here and there. And they know that they're wrong,
right.
But they kept it because of tradition. So we really don't know for sure when the end of that 6,000 years is. But we know it's close by the signs that he gave us and told us to look for.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And remember, he rebuked the Jews for not recognizing his first coming because they didn't recognize the signs.
Right.
And I hate to say this, but I think there's going to be a lot of people that aren't recognizing the signs today either.
That's right. Or they are seeing signs, but they're attributing them to something else entirely.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, the chapter that I want to turn to is in Genesis now. And I'm going to ask you, if you're listening out there and you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2, because this will kind of secure what I've been saying when you see this. Well, just turn to it. Genesis 2. And we're going to go to verse 17. It's just after he's created Adam. Eve's not around yet. And he's telling him, and I'll start in 16. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely of, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now everyone says, well, that's spiritual death. Well, that could be, and it probably was, but...
Remember, we got to take it literally before we take it...
Always take it literally and look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I did look it up. And the word is Daath. I think it's Daath. But it means... maybe it's not Daath. I have to look that up. But I know that the word means a physical death inflicted by God.
Oh, it's moot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, then that does mean physical death.
Yeah, I think the Daath was the knowledge one, wasn't
yes.
it? Yeah, okay.
Right.
I got to keep my Hebrew together there. But no, it means a physical death
mm-hmm.
inflicted by God. But he didn't die.
Well, yeah, that's right. They did quite a few things, had children.
He
and that took
fruit.
more than a day to have all the
yeah.
children they did. So,
is God a liar?
Oh, now I see you're turning it around.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he's not.
Right.
But sometimes our interpretation of it can be wrong,
right.
which is in the case of what our topic is. But no, but how interesting that Adam lived to be how old, John?
I don't quote me, but I know it was over 900 years.
It was.
I'm thinking
930. If I remember correctly.
Okay.
So did he die in that 1,000-year period?
You know, he came within 70 years of
yeah.
making the 1,000 years. But
so
he
God
did,
was right.
Yes.
Typologically speaking, he did die in the day.
The day.
That he ate the fruit.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to say here. When he says in John that he would raise you up on the last day, at the very minute that the 6,000 years is old, over and the 7,000th year begins.
The 7,000th, or the, yeah, okay.
Yeah. The resurrection will occur.
Right.
No doubt about it. It mm-hmm. will be on the first day of the last day.
That's right. The first 24-hour
yes.
day of
the
last
1,000-year day.
Thousand
Absolutely.
Year day.
Absolutely. And
mm-hmm.
again, I implore you to please go back and listen to the whole show on the in March there, 6th. So that you'll get more teaching and understanding. And
right.
you will, I'm sure that you will agree with this, because that's exactly what it is. That last day begins with the rapture.
And the teaching of the seven-day period of man's history, 7,000-year day of man's history, was first-century Judaism.
Oh, yes.
The rabbis taught it. Everyone
they
really
did.
Pretty much understood
books.
It.
Books
yeah.
that were taught.
Yes, everyone understood that you didn't have to explain that.
Right.
The early church never had to explain this to anyone because it was taught.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And we're going to continue this topic when we come back.
Can't believe we're at halftime.
I know you say that every week, John.
I know. Well, listen, the lines will be open. They're open right now, and they'll be open now until we come back. And if you have a question on end time eschatology, which is what we're doing, or the subject of today, please call us at 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Now, since we cover such a big area on the radio, we would both like to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. Ask your pastor to ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this kind of forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, 44021, or you can simply give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal. And you can purchase the teaching on DVDs, especially on the spring feasts, for a donation of only $15. And we do need your help out there, so perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company, or maybe you could refer someone who could. You can reach Sheila for details by calling her at 440-834-9006. And once again, those numbers for your questions, 216-901-0933. Don't be shy. You won't interrupt us. Or call us at 888-677-WORD. That's Word 9673. So stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song by the Tally Trio called It Ain't Gonna Worry Me Long.
Talk about worry. Listen to this song. It's great.
It Ain't Gonna Worry Me Long.
Stay with us now. Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kasalek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
So, babe, even though you're falling for me, you probably haven't noticed that I'm a con artist. I'll treat you very well and shower you with attention, affection, and gifts. Then I'm going to scan my way into your heart and into your checkbook. I'll find out your credit history and financial background, then steal from you using a variety of techniques, like credit card fraud, forgery, or I'll simply borrow your money, always promising to pay it back. Then, over time, I'm going to take you for everything you've got.
Every day, Ohioans are conned out of their money, even their life savings, many times by people they think they can trust. Investment opportunities that sound too good to be true usually are just that. Before you put one dime of your hard-earned money into an investment, contact the State of Ohio Division of Securities. Call 1-877-683-7841 or visit conartist.ohio.gov. Sponsored by the Ohio Department of Commerce Division of Securities, aired by the OAB and this station.
The British medical journal Lancet is reporting maternal deaths have dropped 35% since 1980. This is Steve Jordahl for Family News in Focus Weekend. But abortion advocates wanted to delay publication of the new findings. Marie Smith of the Parliamentary Network for Critical Issues knows why.
The pro-abortion organizations really are trying to suppress this data because they're at a critical moment where they're trying to get enormous amounts of funding for maternal health.
She says they've been trying to hijack the maternal health debate to advance a pro-abortion agenda. Families have a new resource every Wednesday from 2 to 3 Eastern to help them navigate the sometimes troubling water of parenting. Yvette Morris, host of Your Family Live.
Your Family Live, I think, describes it because we really are needing your questions, your email, and your Facebook, your Twitter, all the new social ways to connect with us.
This is Family News in Focus Weekend. I'm Steve Jordahl.
On the line, I've learned that when
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was done by the Tally Trio.
And they rocked out.
I just hope you know, no, we don't have to really worry. I mean, we have to be wise and be sensible of all that. But if you know the Lord with all your heart and soul, he will take care of us.
He definitely will. He promises to, and he told us specifically not to worry.
I know.
It's hard to do.
Hey, as That's soon as hard I, to do.
Right. As soon as I figure out how to do it, I'm going to let everyone else know.
Well, okay. Anyway, listen, I have to ask the listeners out there if they love children, especially little babies. I have a friend whose name is Beth, and she's a listener to this program, and she's a mother of five, grandmother of three, and has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies and now is certified as a newborn care specialist. And she enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to be like Beth and work with children while adding to your family's income, and that's a biggie, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And, of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious one, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. One more time, if you love children and would like to find out about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. Amen.
Very nicely done, I've got
to say. Thank you. Well, you know, I think it's a great program, and especially like if you have a husband that's not working and, you know, maybe can help out a little bit.
Nannies are coming back.
Well, and they should.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're living in a day. You can't trust
anybody.
Well,
they never really went away. We just didn't realize we needed them as much as we do
and
today.
And they do an extensive background check, and, you know, they really get the right people. So, amen to that. Well, listen, I want to go back to 2 Peter 3, and let's read a little more in context to that. Because, well, I think you'll understand why again.
Now, 2 Peter 3 was our last day's scripture, right?
Yes, it is. And it's written by Peter. And I think it's interesting because this is towards the end of his ministry. And you're going to see as he gets into verse 8 that he's telling them, if you forget everything, don't forget this one thing. And I think that means something.
That means, definitely when you know you're facing your demise, you know, because the apostles, they didn't get the preacher retirement like they have today.
Right.
They went to their execution, and he knew that's where he was going. But he wanted to make sure that if you didn't get anything else, I was saying, make sure you get this.
So this was important.
It's important.
So I thought it would be good for us to read at least the first 9 verses, okay? Okay, beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. So he's reminding them that they need to read the prophets. That's prophecy. And yet people don't. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Now, I have to tell you something. I mean, I've always read this, and I've always felt that the scoffers are, you know, the secular people that don't believe in the Lord at all. But I'm seeing scoffers in the church.
Well, it doesn't mean, you know, instead of using the word lust, it can just as well be translated as desires. In other words, their own will.
Who used the word lust?
Walking... Following
according
their own
to their own lust. No, right.
Right.
That just
it can be according to their desires. This is what I want to do, not what God wants to do. This is what I want to do.
Exactly. But the scoffing is what I was kind of looking at. You know, I see in the church people are saying, oh, no, we're going through the tribulation. That's not true. You know, or he's not really coming back, you know, or they're amillennialists who mostly that's mainline churches. You know, think that he's not coming back till way later.
Yes.
And it's just sad, you know, but it says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own fleshly desires.
There you go.
Yeah. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's what they're saying, but boy, is that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever hear of the flood?
Yes.
But you know what? They don't believe in the flood. They don't believe in that judgment at all that ever even happened.
No.
Even though they find seashells up on top of mountains,
yes.
But they don't believe there was a worldwide flood.
No. Even though there is a cataclysmic flood story in every culture on the face of the earth, whether it's a tribal culture or an advanced culture.
I know. And many other things, too. A lot of times people just don't do their homework,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately. Okay, so verse 5. For this they willfully are ignorant, or willfully forget, depending on your translation, but they willfully want to be ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Okay, that's what we just said.
Mm-hmm.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. There's going to be a lot of fire going on.
Mm-hmm.
But, and here's the point, but, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And then verse 9 sums it up, because the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That would be the ultimate desire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also know by Matthew 21:7 that that's not the case. It's going to be a small remnant, and narrow is the gate. But I think it's interesting how it says the Lord is not slack. Well, it's one thing, because it can't go against Scripture. And at the end of 6,000 years,
mm-hmm.
really, that's when the rapture resurrection will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the day that we're looking forward to, and that the day is coming. And that will begin the last day, that is 1,000 years. It will begin with the tribulation period on earth, and that's the dark part of the day,
mm-hmm.
which is why he has the night starting first and then the day, because the darkness and then the light. So the tribulation is the dark part of the day that lasts 1,000 years. But at the end of 7 years, Jesus will come back. We will be with him, and he is that light.
Right.
That brings the sun back.
God bless you there.
Amen. So, and I think it's interesting, too, if you look at the typology involved. The one thing as far as the Jewish people, still the Orthodox, on the Sabbath day, they go to their synagogues, and when the temple was here, they would go to the temple on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they cleansed the temple. I think that's interesting, because when Jesus comes back, or during the tribulation, I should say, is when the earth is going to be cleansed.
Right.
Okay, and then, of course, he'll finish it when he comes back at the end of the 7 years. And then we go into the millennial kingdom for the remainder of the last day.
And at the risk of making a mistake in math, I'll say, what is that,
993
years. Yeah.
You got it.
Okay.
So a lot of times I'll see these graphs, and they'll have the seven-year tribulation as a separate entity.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, too.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. when in actuality, it's really
part of that day.
1,000 years.
So you can
the
actually,
time of the day.
If you've been looking at these little charts or graphs that show the dispensations, I've seen it called dispensations.
Mm-hmm. For lack of a better word.
But you see that, and you see that little seven-year tribulation
yeah.
period, and you think it's by itself. It's not. It's part of the last day.
It is. And that's why it has to be part of that, because it's the nighttime.
Right.
And when the rapture happens, is it going to be dark?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, John. When the rapture happens, every single righteous person will be taken up.
Yes.
That will leave everybody unrighteous.
Yes.
That will give Satan the opportunity to gather strength.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And to move politically.
Exactly. In all areas.
And spiritually. Yes, in all areas.
You're right.
And that's exactly what he's going to do.
Well, yeah, and then the one where religion has to, you know, come to fruition.
Yes.
This is all scripture that has to take place that, again, if you think we're going to be here, really can't happen. We're hindering it from happening because we are the light.
Mm-hmm.
The light has to be removed so evil can take over and the one world religion can get into effect, because the one world religion's main theology will be that there's different roads to heaven. We all serve the same God, even
yes.
the Muslims.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they don't.
We're all praying to the same God. But,
yeah, that's what they say.
We know that's not true.
Yeah. So it's those days, that's for sure. But I'd like to speak also of another scripture that Jesus talked about, the last day. And that's in John chapter 11. So if you are out there and you have your Bibles, I hope you're turning with us.
Yes, I'm there. John chapter 11.
Okay. And this, of course, is after Martha lost her brother. And she was very sad, Lazarus, because she loved him very much.
Yes.
And she was crying, and she was a little wondering why Jesus hadn't been there.
And especially since he had been given advanced warning or notice that her brother was ill. I call this one the Lazarus incident.
Yeah, he came after like 4 days.
4 days,
but
yeah.
That's interesting because Jesus came in the fourth day. At 4,000th year.
What
a thousand years, and we could go off and do that whole show.
Did you get that little picture there? Did that one go by you? That's pretty
and
cool.
And, of course, it's also neat that the sun was created on the fourth day. Okay. And he's the sun of righteousness and
Malachi, the light of the world. Hello? Is this it? Is
Amen.
This get, yes.
All
we'll,
right.
We'll
well, let's, John, would you read 21 through 26?
Okay, if you're following a different version, mine says Martha instead of Martha. But Martha said to Yeshua, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Yeshua said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day.
There's the last day.
Mm-hmm. Yeshua said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever puts his trust in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone living and trusting in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Okay, now we got to take that one. You know, when you're reading just casual reading, which, you know, sometimes people just do just to, you know, enjoy the reading and not really study. They don't have their books open. Maybe they're laying in bed, you know. So casual reading, you're not going to get this.
Well, you know, even when I'm studying, I didn't get it.
Okay.
because your mind wanders a little bit.
Of course.
Even when you're studying. But I.
Well, when I read it, I thought, well, what's he repeating that twice for? And I thought, I better slow down and read that again. So in 25, he says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. No argument with that.
Mm-hmm.
He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. I don't have a problem with that. Very simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then what is he saying in verse 26? It's not quite the same. And meaning there's something else. Whoever lives or whoever is alive and believes in me, okay, that has to be there, shall never die. Never. And then he's saying, can you believe that? You know, it's almost like, what do you think about that one? So I think he's really saying, and if you're alive at the time of the resurrection, you won't die at all.
Yeah.
And he's telling Martha, what do you think about that?
And Martha, of course, like, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
Well, and then I just wanted to make sure that what I was thinking at the time was correct. And I went to the interlinear and read it actually in the Greek. And it's a little more plainer, but that's exactly what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying whoever's alive at the time will never die at all.
There we go.
And that, to me, is great. But here's the other thing. In verse 24, it says he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
So he's making a distinction there in resurrection. There's more than one resurrection.
Well, of course there is.
He says the resurrection at the last day. There's a distinction.
Right. The same one that he talked about in John.
In John, it's the same day.
Yeah. And how long does that day last?
it lasts 1,000 years.
Okay. And when is this resurrection going to take place on this 1,000-year time period?
September.
No.
It's going to take place in the very beginning of the day, in the night.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Right.
In the night portion, which, you know, the biblical day starts at night, because we learned that from Genesis and the Hebrew roots, that it starts at night. So it's going to begin. That's when that day begins. That's when that resurrection is going to occur. And think about it, too. Why would you have to be dead to participate in a resurrection anyway? There's going to be people alive when this happens.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean,
does God have to kill you
so first and bring
kill
us
you
out?
So he can resurrect? No.
You know, it sounds so incredible to people, and yet he parted a huge sea for the Jews to go through.
Right.
He's done so many things, even in my own life, healings and that. Tell me that he can't just call us up home?
Yes, and he opened up the ground and. Remember in the wilderness, the ground swallowed up that were rebelling against Moses. And Moses told him, hey, God said he's going to do a new thing. And, you know, our God does new things. And he will surprise. Hopefully you won't be surprised by the rapture. You will be waiting and looking forward to and being ready for it.
That's right. Amen. And we got about 5 minutes. Let's go back to 2 Peter now. In chapter 2, the chapter before, and see how Peter is actually talking about the false doctrine.
Oh. Okay. And you know what? This is why my Bible is falling apart.
Oh, mine is too. I keep trying to use my new Bible, but it doesn't have all my notes in it, you know?
Okay.
But anyway, in chapter 2, verse 1, he goes, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. They'll always be around, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. Do you know that there's churches that are saying now that you don't need the Lord to get to heaven? Mainline churches are saying it. It's sad. But I think it's interesting because he says here, false teachers among you.
Among you.
Yeah, he's talking in the world.
He's talking to the group of the churches, the believers. Among you.
Exactly. So we have to really be careful, whoever we listen to, whether it be your pastor or your Bible study teacher or somebody on the radio or somebody on the TV, please, I implore you, check out everything yourself, because you, as a Christian, need to be studying the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be in there in yourself. Yes, you need a teacher to help guide you maybe sometimes or to stir you up or say, oh, I don't believe that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then you need to go and check it out yourself.
Now, I think too, that teachers are held to a high degree. God holds them to a high degree of responsibility.
And so I try to be very careful.
So we don't, you don't have to worry about falling into the clutches or into the under the influence of a false teacher. God's going to deal with that false teacher himself in his own way, in his own. And I think he would rather save the teacher and the student and not have any of them being destroyed. But we need to really be careful to who we listen to and what they're saying and ask ourselves the questions. Go to the Bible and ask God the questions and let his word answer it.
That's right. And again, also the book of Jude talks a lot about the false teachers. And I implore you to read about it so that you're aware that they're among you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some of them, of course, don't do it intentionally.
Right, right.
I mean, it's just something that they were told. And we have a tendency of just because we respect somebody, maybe believing every single word that comes out of their mouth.
Well, let's go back to 1 Timothy, like you said, or 2 Timothy 3:16. This is for reproof, instruction in righteousness, correction. You have to correct. Correction is no big deal. You're going in the wrong direction. You just turn a little bit and you start headed, you know the direction.
That's right. And again, also in Timothy 4, it says some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And I think it's a horrible thing to think that we're going to the tribulation. That means your comfort is gone and we're not looking for Jesus Christ. We're looking for the Antichrist.
Okay. Well, if you have any more questions for Sheila, or you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just simply email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. So any and all your donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically put you on the monthly newsletter, which is full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and Israel. Why not check out the webpage? Newsletters and previous radio shows are all archived there, thanks to Lou Buckles. And a very great study guide for beginners on DVD, Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2, and now the Spring Feasts, available on her webpage as well. ShofarMinistries.net, or just call her, 440-834-9006. And now we'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Please come back next week. I hope you enjoyed this show. Until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim, Psalm 122:6 says,
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word.